good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, the Mighty Boo on your Thursday morning. Coming up in a half hour, join us for Fight the Empire. Today, host Per Fogering talks about imperial chaos. As things fall apart around the world, he asks if the U.S. hopes to gain from the chaos. At 10, it's Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints continues the multi-part series, The Battle for Education in the 21st Century. And later, we'll hear an excerpt of Oliver Stone at the Left Forum discussing his multi-part documentary series, The Untold History of the United States. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman has an extended interview with best-selling science fiction author Neal Stephenson about his new book, Seven Eves, The Future, Technology, Optimism, and More. But up next, it's Teresa Mitchell hosting Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. And that's next on KBOO.
RT, a news service formerly called Russia Today, is barely 10 years old, but it's making waves. Hillary Clinton said the United States is losing the information war to outlets like RT. John Kerry called it a propaganda bullhorn, yet RT is one of the most watched TV news sites in the West. Hi, this is Per Fogren. Friday at 11, I'll be talking with RT's news anchor, Anissa Nawe, and we'll be taking your calls. RT is on the web. Check it out and tune in Friday, May 22nd at 11 a.m. on KBOO, your radio station.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. And now the latest on Bin Laden's bookshelf. There is today a large Iranian registered relief ship approaching the narrow strait between the Gulf of Aden and the Red Sea. Do you recall hearing anything about it on major U.S. news media? Me either. The Saudis, the U.S., and other benefactors of the horrific U.S. coordinated aerial massacre in Yemen are not at all happy about it, and have attempted to paint the effort as a sinister war provocation. CNTV reports, and this is not corporate media, but international media, Iran's state news agency, IRNA, says that an Iranian aid ship heading for Yemen expects to enter the Bab al-Mandeb Strait on Thursday morning. That's this morning. The strait, they say, links the Gulf of Aden with the Red Sea. The Iran Shahed ship is heading to Yemen's western port of Hodeidah. And they say the vessel is reported to be carrying 2,500 tons of much-needed aid, including flour, rice, canned food, medical supplies, and bottled water. But the ship's mission has been overshadowed by U.S. calls for it to head to a U.N. emergency relief hub in Djibouti to prove it is not carrying weapons. An Iranian foreign minister official says the foreign ministry official says the ship is in full coordination with major international organizations. He warned if any country attempts to obstruct delivery of aid supplies to the people of Yemen, it will provoke a reaction both by Iran and by international organizations. That's the end of the quote of CNTV. I want to emphasize again that this relief ship and the international effort behind it our big international news. Here is a more recent report. I mean, there's dozens of reports on the news roll. If you pull it up on Google News, for example, and you use the search terms Iran Shahed, S-H-A-H-E-D. Here's a more recent report from Swiss Info using UN news releases. Quote, the UN announcement came as Iran announced that the Iranian cargo ship sailing to Yemen with 2,500 tons of food and medical supplies would submit to international inspections in Djibouti before continuing on to Yemen's Hodeidah port, which is under Houthi control. The move reduces the risk of a potential showdown between the vessel, which had been escorted by Iranian warships, and Saudi-led forces enforcing inspections on vessels entering Yemeni ports to prevent arms supplies from reaching the Houthis. Quote, we have decided to dock our ship in Djibouti so the United Nations inspection protocol can take place, end quote. That's a quote from Iran's deputy foreign minister. The voyage, they write, had threatened to escalate a regional confrontation over Yemen in which Saudi Arabia and its Sunni Muslim allies have carried out almost 2 months of air raids on Houthi fighters, it says, are armed by Shiite power Iran. Shia power Iran. Just reading the text there from the Swiss Info. Tehran dismisses the allegation. Saudi-led forces have imposed searches on all ships trying to enter Yemen to prevent weapons reaching the Houthis, who control much of the country. Reuters ship tracking data showed the Iran Shahed positioned southwest of Aden on Wednesday. Again, the news about the relief ship, Iran Shahed, has been distorted or ignored in the U.S. monopoly-owned media. Here is the latest that I was able to get from The National, which is an Arab Emirates publication. An Iranian ship carrying aid destined for Yemen has changed course for Djibouti, where its cargo is to be inspected by United Nations officials. The ship tracking website marinetraffic.com showed the Iran Shahed had abruptly turned towards Djibouti just before entering the narrow Bab el-Mandeb Strait that connects the Red Sea to the Gulf of Aden. According to the website, the ship was sailing off Djibouti's northern coast near the port of Obak, traveling at about 8 knots. It was due to arrive in Djibouti after 2:30 GMT on Thursday. The website did not show any other vessels near the Iran Shahed, which was being accompanied by two Iranian warships. The aid ship had not shown up on the website since its position was registered off the coast of Oman 1 week ago. The Iran Shahed had originally set sail for Houthi-controlled, that is, the Yemen port of Hodeidah, carrying 2,400 tons of food and 100 tons of medicine, according to Iran. The change, of course, follows pressure on Tehran from the United States and Saudi Arabia, which is leading an air campaign against Yemen's Houthi rebels and controls the water around Yemen, enforcing inspections on vessels headed there. Iran had initially rejected the notion of Saudi Arabia inspecting the ship and resisted U.S. calls to reroute the vessel to Djibouti for its cargo to be inspected. The standoff over the ship raised concerns of a military showdown in the Red Sea. The Pentagon warned earlier in the week that two Iranian warships were escorting the Iran Shahed, and the leader of Iran's armed forces said last week that any attack on the ship would prompt a regional war. Saudi Arabia has sought to oversee what aid goes into Yemen and where it goes. It has previously blocked Iranian aid flights by threatening them with fighter jets and by bombing Sana'a's airport. Now, that's the end of the quote from the Arab Emirates paper. Now, here is the spin. This is the thing that got my attention. Here's the spin that NBC News put on the ship, put on the story from their website Tuesday, quote, a U.S. warship has begun shadowing an Iranian cargo ship approaching the coast of Yemen with Iranian military escorts, raising concerns it could be delivering weapons for Houthi rebels in violation of the United Nations arms embargo, Defense Department officials said. Iran says the cargo ship, the Iran Shahed, is carrying humanitarian relief to war-torn Yemen. It is being accompanied by a pair of Iranian warships, the Vosper and the Bandar Abbas. The Iranian government has publicly announced the cargo ship intends to deliver its shipment directly to Yemen and ignore UN demands that all relief shipments for Yemen first be delivered to UN inspection station in nearby Djibouti, but it is not yet certain where the U.S. or other coalition warships will attempt to intercept the Iranian vessel. For now, the amphibious U.S. helicopter carrier Iwo Jima is monitoring its movements. So I'm going to depart from that text for a moment. This sort of coverage is, of course, typical for U.S. coverage, but I really had begun to wonder what was going to happen with the ship, and the story isn't over yet. It hasn't, as far as I know, it is not docked in Djibouti, and as I was saying, there is quite a bit of international coverage, and you can see videotapes of the ship loaded with various, 2,400 tons of food is about the right size for that size ship, and the videotapes show the medicine. So the idea that Iran is trying to sneak weapons in, maybe they are, but it can't be anything significant, and the aid is quite significant given the fact that there's this horrific U.S. satellite-coordinated Saudi bombing campaign, which has just been blasting people to shreds in the cities in Yemen, and mostly in the cities. And there has been no aid available. And you may recall that there was a scandal a few weeks earlier when U.S. citizens were trying to get out of Yemen because of the bombing, which was already very bad at that time, and the U.S. refused to help. There's various excuses made, but that's the bottom line. The U.S. refused to help its own citizens, and they had to board Russian ships to get out. And they couldn't fly out, of course, because the Saudis bombed the airport. So returning to the NBC News coverage, if you want to call it that, U.S. officials suspect the Iranian ship may in fact be carrying relief supplies and not weapons. Can't make this stuff up. U.S. officials suspect the Iranian ship may in fact be carrying relief supplies and not weapons. Those sneaky bastards! And are attempting to draw the U.S. and coalition warships into a confrontation at sea. I just have to read it again. And pardon me, I have to give it the proper delivery. U.S. officials suspect the Iranian ship may in fact be carrying relief supplies and not weapons and are attempting to draw the U.S. and coalition warships into a confrontation at sea. According to the officials, NBC News wrote, there is evidence that for propaganda purposes, a number of international observers, in quotes, quote, international observers, end quote, may be aboard the Iranian cargo ship, prepared to document any attempt to board and search the Iranian vessel, only to find no weapons on board. On the other hand, to allow the ship free passage into Yemen without an inspection could set a dangerous precedent for future shipments. Dangerous precedent in quotation marks. And then there's a headline that says, officials said no final decision had been made on the U.S. response. Followed by a paragraph, Yemen's dominant Houthi group recently accepted a five-day humanitarian ceasefire proposed by its adversary, Saudi Arabia, that said it could respond to any violations of the pause. Neighboring Saudi Arabia had previously said that the ceasefire could begin if the Iranian allied media agreed to the pause, which would let in badly needed food and medical supplies. Backed by the United States, a Saudi-led coalition has been conducting airstrikes against the Houthis and army units loyal to ex-President Ali Abdullah Saleh since March 26th, with the aim of restoring the government of President Abd Rabu Mansour Hadi. Pentagon spokesperson Colonel Steve Warren previously said that if the ship is carrying humanitarian aid, the U.S. encourages the Iranians to deliver it to the United Nations aid distribution hub in Djibouti. He added that if the Iranians are planning some sort of stunt, that would be unhelpful and could threaten the ceasefire. It really says that, planning some sort of stunt. Warren said that providing warships to escort a single ship carrying aid is not necessary. Well, that's not necessary. We're just shadowing it with a do you know what a helicopter carrier is? I remember someone being ridiculed in U.S. Media for saying that the U.S. had helicopter carriers. Of course the U.S. has helicopter carriers, and here it pops up again in corporate-owned media. It's a very large ship. It is an aircraft carrier, and it has vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, and also has helicopters. But more than that, it's kind of it's a little bit of a deceptive name, because it carries hundreds and hundreds, actually thousands, of troops, and that's what it's for, and that's what the helicopters are for, is for moving the troops out So this is a warship, capital W. You don't put out a helicopter carrier for defending the sea lanes. Helicopter carrier is for invading. And so the USS, I believe it was the Iwo Jima. Anyone remember? No, actually, I just said that it was the Iwo Jima, I think. And so it's shadowing the Iran Shahid. So, ending the NBC coverage, it said, Warren said that providing warships to escort a single ship carrying aid is not necessary. He added that the Iranians moved a much larger convoy several weeks ago and provoked tensions. Warren would not discuss a possible U.S. response if the U.S. tries to dock in Yemen, if the ship tries to dock in Yemen. So, lots of sinister intimations and threats. And the U.S. media coverage of the only relief effort now attempting to reach the Yemen massacre, and emphasizing the story for a couple of reasons. I'm emphasizing the story for a couple of reasons. First, it would be very easy for the U.S. to attack the ship now, claiming it was an armed ship, conveniently blocking the Strait of Maghreb from any further Iranian traffic, and providing a handy story for escalating aggression versus Iran or even starting a full-scale war. Second, the act of blocking aid from a desperate such situation in Yemen is monstrous. Here again, the U.S. is acting in a criminal manner internationally, while we here in the U.S. are being duped and lulled by the corporate-owned media. The aid ship and its 2,500 tons of food and medicine abruptly turned south from the Yemeni port and is now poised at the strait following the agreement to allow the inspection in Djibouti, just north of the Strait of Maghreb. The world holds its breath. The U.S. public is being fed the story of Osama bin Laden's library. Osama bin Laden's library. That's the talking point. You can find it everywhere. And where to start with that ridiculous crap? In the first place, give me a call. Give me a call about Osama bin Laden's library. Tell me where you heard of it. And here we are at Memorial Day, and so we will get the stories of how Johnny didn't die in vain, and how he fought for freedom, and how he showed up in Iraq just to help people with his tank and his gun, and how Johnny America is really such a good guy, and you know it's really criminal will be the implication. You were to infer that it is criminal to consider that U.S. imperial aggressions could be anything but heroic, because after all, you know, Johnny gave his life, and Johnny's dead now, and the flag flies in freedom, and you're free because Johnny shut up some people from the third world. Third world, there's a lovely term. There's me being an American. But where to start with Osama bin Laden's library? I'd like to know how it affected you. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. 503-231-8187. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Hi, Teresa. I had a couple of questions about this latest banking scandal, and I'll take them off the air if you want to answer it.
All right.
First one is that the new Attorney General, Loretta Lynn, she said that these banks were all colluding to commit a criminal act. So does that make her a conspiracy theorist?
And then interesting question.
And then the other question is, so they were manipulating the financial currencies for almost every country in the world every day for 5 years. Kind of works out to a few trillion. So if they paid $3 billion, if they got a $3 billion fine, they get to write off half of it on their taxes. Doesn't that prove crime really, really pays, and you don't even have to worry about going to prison? Thank you.
Oh, heck no! That means that we're on top of things, and this can only mean that. Well, no, I guess your questions answer themselves, and you're absolutely right. And yeah, you kind of have to wonder why no one goes to jail for that. But, of course, I was talking about Osama bin Laden's library. In the first place, Osama bin Laden, the real one, had nothing to do with the detonations in New York and Pentagon in September of 01. He said so. And he died in a cave in the Tora Bora Mountains of kidney disease more than a decade ago. The fake bin Laden, who aside, I don't think he even saw 2002. Big Nose bin Laden, I call him. The fake bin Laden, who appeared immediately via audio tape as soon as bin Laden had died, who, aside from his darker beard, looked little like Osama, was killed in a raid that Cy Hirsch exposed as a U.S.-Pakistani setup a few years ago. And isn't it an amazing mistake? That word in quotation marks, if you like. that not one hair of his chinny chin chin was saved for DNA analysis to be compared with the powerful Bush family friends, the bin Laden family. So now, the Saudi Osama bin Laden is back in the news, just in time for idiotically uninformed Americans to conflate his struggle with that of Iran, where he would have been jailed as an apostate, or with Iraq, where Saddam would have jailed him as a subversive, or with the international stooges in ISIS, whom he never met. And, oh look, he had books by Noam Chomsky. Well, that means that everyone who reads Noam Chomsky is in with Satan. Oops, I mean Osama bin Laden. You know what's really pitiful? That works. It works really well. There's a reason they do that. They, corporate-owned media, in response to the Pentagon, in response to the banks who make so much profit off imperial war, and who make profit off profit, and who make profit off interfering with the international bank lending rates. Or maybe it should be rending late. They've lately been rending. Sometimes I like my own Freudian slips. I do have some of the original slips from Freud, and they're made with very nice lace. So, of course, this is absolutely war propaganda, dialed to the state-enforced stupidity of the American public, and the question is not whether there is any basis in reality to it, there is not, but whether this represents some impending escalation in the vast U.S. war effort in the Middle East and elsewhere, nor is it likely a coincidence that we're hearing more nonsense about North Korean missiles. We were being told to be afraid. Are you afraid? Number to call 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And Jack's on the air.
Yeah, the library is getting play online. You can find it discussed in articles in various places. I found it at Truthdig yesterday. They put it there in particular because the Truthdig founder and editor, Robert Scheer, if people aren't familiar with him, he was one of the founding editors of Ramparts back in the day. Ramparts being a pretty important.
There's a blast from the past, yeah.
Yeah. Robert Scheer was working for the L.A. Times, and he wrote an editorial titled what was it titled? I got it right here. It was. Osama bin Laden Bush's is Al Qaeda just a Bush boogeyman? And 2005, it claims it was written. And I met Robert Scheer when he was on his book tour, Playing President. He wrote that book about that time. And saw him give the reading at one of the small bookstores here in Portland, and talked to him a little bit after the Q&A. I recommended to him Webster Tarpley's 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in USA, and I was wondering if I gave that to him before he wrote the article or after. I can't recall, but anyway, it's interesting what they're doing with that, and. Just fascinating. This whole theater is just, as you've pointed out, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, you
but
can't
they
make
can.
Up how weird it is what they're making up. You know, it's just, OBL has pointed out in many places, and I cited Tarpley's Synthetic Terror. He points out clearly that OBL was probably the best mountebank that the global war of terror ever had, and they kept the legend going for nearly 10 years at least after he died, and it served them very well.
Oh yeah, he's very important. Where would we be without Osama bin Laden? I mean,
well, maybe we'd have a little more for health, education, and welfare. But you know, that's
terrorist.
Another story. Anyway, that's my contribution.
Okay, thank you very much for your call. Number to call 503-231-8187. Monsanto has been the subject of a class action lawsuit. Case number BC578942 filed in Los Angeles County, California against biotechnology giant Monsanto. This is from Natural Society. Writer Christina Sarich, who is also in Global Research, it alleges that Monsanto is guilty of false advertising by claiming that glyphosate, the active ingredient in their best-selling herbicide Roundup, quote, targets an enzyme only found in plants and not in humans or animals, end quote. You can see the statement marked clearly on some of Monsanto's products sold in the state. The lawsuit attests that the enzyme in question, EPSP synthase, is found in the microbiota that reside in our intestinal tracts, and therefore the enzyme is found in human and animals. Due to the disruption of gut flora by glyphosate, Monsanto's chemicals do indeed affect humans. Why is Monsanto being sued? Because their product kills off healthy gut flora. Specifically, glyphosate is linked to stomach and bowel problems, indigestion, ulcers, colitis, gluten intolerance, sleeplessness, lethargy, depression, Crohn's disease, celiac disease, allergies, obesity, diabetes, infertility, liver disease, renal failure, autism, Alzheimer's, endocrine disruption, and WHO recently announced glyphosate is probably carcinogenic. So you can find that article at globalresearch.ca. Number call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Are you scared of Osama bin Laden's library? And Don's on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
I got a statement and a question. The statement is like a bottom line bumper sticker thing.
All right.
And it could be validated with a lot of long-winded talk. But the statement is this. So we don't know that Osama bin Laden is dead. For all we know, he could have shaved his beard and he's alive and well in Saudi Arabia. And the question is, I was listening to some right-wing corporate fascist propagandists.
Fox News.
And they've had a thing for the past couple of days in which Seymour Hersh wrote an article. Now, this is in the context that I'm computer illiterate. Hersh wrote an article pertaining to Osama bin Laden. And the right-wing guys are running around with their hair on fire. They don't say what the article is about. They just say that Hersh is a jerk. Are you familiar with
Yes, Cy Hersh wrote a story about the killing of what I call Big Nose Osama bin Laden, the fake bin Laden. And his story varies from the official story in that, if I recall specifically, the tip-off was given by someone associated with Pakistan, Pakistani government, rather than being found out secretly and carefully by U.S. covert forces. So it makes the U.S. look a little less, slightly less straightforward and competent, but it doesn't question the overall story that was, in fact, you know, the original Osama bin Laden.
I'm not entirely certain about what you just said. Would that perhaps give credence to my suspicion from the beginning that perhaps he might not be dead?
Well, according to the Taliban, he died in December 2001 of kidney-related failure. They might have been lying, to the extent that he might have also been dying from having been bombed, which they wouldn't be as likely to admit. They said they buried him, and that was when the audio tapes started coming out, and that's when we started seeing this fellow with the beefy hands instead of Osama bin Laden's piano player hands, and with the beefy nose and the robust complexion. So I don't, you know, I haven't believed that Osama bin Laden has existed for all this time, and the Osama bin Laden that we are led to exist wasn't the conspirator for 9/11, if you ask me. And there's a lot more to that, but heck, I'm out of time, and Per Fagering is coming in. And more of the Incomparable Radio Zine here on KBOO Portland, where we broadcast at 90.7 FM from the Big Tower up on the hill, other frequencies elsewhere in Oregon, and via the World Wide Web, where you can contribute by clicking the tip jar on KBOO.FM, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
Tune in Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. to hear Rose City Native Radio with your host, Jackie Malmstrom. Rose City Native Radio is a new public affairs program bringing you local and national Native issues and Native contemporary music. You can find more information about the show online at kboo.fm or find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fagrang, and it's a nice day to fight the empire. I'm going to throw a couple quotes at you today, and we'll kind of expound on that. They're very revealing. This is one quote. I get the feeling that no matter what the Americans touch, they end up with Libya or Iraq. Well, that was Russian President Putin talking to a youth forum. Well, Libya and Iraq, Libya is sort of broken up into pieces.